بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. This is a matter of paramount importance to the believing men and women. Since so many matters of worship and interrelationships depend upon it, and believers should know the rulings regarding this critical or this important matter which concerns the state of purity of the believing woman, and therefore the title of this book came, The Natural Blood of Woman, and it is by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, may Allah's mercy be upon him, who started the book in his introduction saying, all praise is due to Allah, we praise him, seek his help and forgiveness, we return to him alone in repentance, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our wrong deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide, and whoever Allah misguides, there is none who can guide. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, who is free from any partners or associates. I bear witness that Muhammad is the true slave and messenger of Allah. May the salah of Allah be upon him. It is common that there are three types of menses among women. Number one, menstrual period. Second, istihada. Let's have this in Arabic. The second is istihada, bleeding from the womb between woman periods. Istihada with a D, D-A-H at the end. Bleeding from the womb between woman periods. And the third is nifas. Which is post-delivery. The explanations of these matters, in accordance with the evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, is very important and beneficial, because A. the Quran and Sunnah represent the only sources for all of the decrees of Allah. B. In referring to these sources, one achieves a state of peace, comfort, and relaxation, as well as relief from having the requirements of worship, in this case, purification from menses, made known. C. Any other reference lacks the quality of perfection of the proofs of the Quran and Sunnah. Next in reference are the verified sayings of the scholars amongst the Sahaba, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as they are not in conflict with anything in the Quran or Sunnah. In case there is a contradictory saying by another Sahabi, by another companion, then verification for the most substantiated proofs, closest to evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, is sought. This is in confirmation to the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa 4:59. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. If you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you believe in Allah and in the last day, that is best and more suitable for final determination. With these in mind, a summarized letter explaining the Islamic laws regarding menses is presented here. Chapter 1, title, The Meaning of Menses. In the Arabic language, the word menses means, quote, the pouring and flowing of something. The pouring and flowing of something. According to its Islamic meaning, quote, it is the blood that the female naturally releases without an outside cause and during certain specific times. I repeat, the Islamic meaning of menses is the blood that the female naturally releases without an outside cause and during certain specific times. It is therefore a natural blood flow that is not related to disease, wound, abortion, or delivery. I repeat. Okay. Islamic meaning is the blood that the female naturally releases without an outside cause and during certain specific times. It is therefore a natural blood flow that is not related to disease, wound, abortion, or delivery. The characteristics of its flow clearly differ amongst women depending upon their overall condition, environment, and immediate surroundings. It is not related to disease, wound, abortion, or delivery. The characteristics of its flow clearly differ amongst women depending upon their overall condition, environment, and immediate surroundings. The wisdom behind it relates to the fact that when the embryo is in its mother's womb, it cannot receive nutrients even from the most merciful human being. Rather, Allah, most glorified and most perfect creator, created a system of blood secretions that carries the nutrients to the embryo via the umbilical cord. That's why when a woman becomes pregnant, her period stops and she will rarely have menses. She will rarely have menses. The end of chapter 1. Chapter 2. The age at which menses starts and ends. First, is there an age period? Is there an age period? Menses occurs between the ages of 12 and 50. Menses occurs between the ages of 12 and 50, although a woman may have it before or after, depending upon her condition and environment. The scholars of Islam, may Allah's mercy be upon them all, differed whether there is a specific age period in which menses is manifested, and about the nature of the blood that the woman may have prior to or after this period. Is her blood a menses blood or an unrelated blood? So they differed on that. After referring to the different opinions about this matter, Imam al-Darimi, and who is Imam al-Darimi? He is one of the very well known scholars of Islam. He was born in the year 181 after Hijrah. He was a reference cited by Imam Muslim, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi and others. He traveled extensively and authored many Islamic classifications, and he died in the year 255 after Hijrah. Imam al-Darimi concluded that, quote, "To me all are wrong, because the criteria should be the presence or absence of the released blood. The criteria should be the presence or absence of the released blood, regardless of the age period, regardless of the age period, and therefore this type of blood should be considered as menses, and Allah knows best." End of quote. What Imam al-Darimi said is the correct position, and this is also the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah. Who is Ibn Taymiyyah? Ibn Taymiyyah is the renowned scholar of Islam who was born in the year 661, corresponding to 1263. He mastered various disciplines of Islamic studies at an early age. He had strongly defended the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stood firmly against innovations introduced by the philosophers and scholastic sects who plotted for his imprisonment on numerous occasions. He physically defended the Muslims in Greater Syria against the invasions by the Tartars, and he died in the year 77 to 8, corresponding to 1328 after Hijrah, while in prison in Damascus. Following his Islamic legal rulings against the innovators, his writings are still a great reference for Muslims seeking knowledge about Islam. May Allah have mercy upon all the scholars of Islam. So this is also the choice of Shaykh al-Islam. Accordingly, when the woman sees the menstrual blood, then she is an actual state of menses, even though she may be less than 9 or more than 50 years old. This is because Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the rule for menses effective only when menses is present, and according to these rules there was no mention of a certain age for the commencing or ending of menses. Hence, specifying an age period requires an evidence from Quran and Sunnah, and this is not available. Specifying an age period requires an evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, and this is not available. So we have covered now, is there an age period? and you heard the preponderating opinion that there is no evidence from Quran and Sunnah specifying an age, and this is not available. The second matter, the time of duration of menses. The time of duration of menses. There is a great deal. There is a great deal of dispute amongst the scholars regarding the period of time in which a woman is considered to be in menses. Some scholars say there is no limiting number of days for the existence of menses, either light or intense. And the Shaykh rahimahullah said, this opinion is like that of Ad-Darimi, and it is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and it is the right opinion, and it is the right opinion, because it is substantiated by evidences from the Quran, from the Sunnah, and from good analogy. Evidence number one, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 222. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. They ask you concerning menstruation. Say, that is an adha, a harmful thing for a husband to have a sexual intercourse with his wife while she is having her menses. Therefore, keep away from women during menses and go not unto them till they have purified from menses and have taken a bath. To the end of the verse, it is clear that Allah made the reason behind abstention from legal sexual intercourse with the woman, he made the reason is the lack of purity during her menses and not the end of a certain period of time. And not the end of a certain period of time. A day, a night, 3 days, not even 15 days. And this is a proof that the reason for this ruling by Allah is either the presence of menses or its absence. Evidence number two, what has been confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic book of hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to his wife Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, what to do when she had her menstrual period after assuming her state of ihram for umrah. Ihram meaning entering into a state of sanctity in accordance with the sunnah. It involves the putting on of a particular type of dress and abstention from certain actions if one wants to go for umrah or hajj. So she was asking what to do when she had her menstrual period after assuming her state of ihram for umrah. He told her, do all that the pilgrim is supposed to do, except that you don't perform tawaf, meaning circulation around the Kaaba, till you are clean, meaning from your menses. She said, on the day of the animal sacrifice, which is the 10th day, I was pure. It is reported in another hadith, also in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ told Aisha, wait till you become clean from your menses and then go to a place in Mecca known as At-Tan'im, assume ihram, and after performing Umrah, join us at such and such place. So the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that the reason behind preventing Aisha from performing the rites of Hajj, of pilgrimage, is her state of cleanliness and not a specified period for the duration of her menstrual bleeding. This indicates that the Islamic ruling regarding This issue is related again to the presence or absence of menstrual blood. Evidence number 3. Estimates and details given by some jurists regarding the age at which menses starts and ends is not present in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Although this issue is definitely needed and necessity demands its clarification. If, and with bold letters, if it were obligatory to understand these estimates and to use them in the worship of Allah, then Allah and His Messenger would have clearly made it known to everyone. This is because of the importance of the Islamic rulings that govern many aspects of worship of Allah and which depend upon the state of menses. For example, think of prayer, fasting, marriage, divorce, inheritance, and others. As it is known, Allah and His Messenger explained prayers, their numbers, their times, their ruku', their bowing, their prostrations. He explains zakah, charity, its types of wealth and property, its due amount and its recipients. He fasting, its period and the specified times in the day, pilgrimage, the etiquettes of eating, drinking, sleeping, sexual intercourse with the wife, sitting, entering and leaving the home, the way to answer the call of nature, even the number of stones to be used in istijmar, which is cleaning one's private part with odd numbers of stones when there is no water or anything, and many more details about the minute as well as the greatest types of actions by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had completed His religion of Islam and perfected His favors upon the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ in 16:89, and we have sent down the book, the Quran, as exposition of everything. Also in Surah Yusuf 1:1:1, ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء. The Quran is not a forced statement but a confirmation of what came before and a detailed explanation of everything. Hence, since there is no mention of these estimates in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it became clear that one can rule them out of consideration. In fact, the consideration, as proven by these evidences, is to be determined by the presence or absence of menstrual blood. There is an important benefit to be deduced from the discussion of this issue, and that is the fact that Islamic rulings cannot be confirmed except by an evidence from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ or a known consensus, ijma'. What is ijma'? Consensus of opinion amongst the pious and righteous Muslim scholars in any generation. This is the meaning of ijma', consensus of opinion amongst the pious and righteous Muslim scholars in any generation. When nothing is directly mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah about a case, then the ijma' is considered a valid case. Ijma' in Islam becomes abiding due to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has related in various authentic traditions that the scholars from among his ummah will never arrive at a consensus that contains misguidance or error. Allah protects them from this because they were the closest generation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The companions were most guided to arrive to the consensus. So back again to the point made earlier, that from this discussion it cannot be confirmed. Nothing can be confirmed except by evidences from the Quran, the authentic Sunnah, and the known consensus. Or the fourth matter is good rationale. Rationale in Arabic is known as qiyas. Could we write this down? Qiyas. Q-I-Y-A-S-S. Qiyas. This is the fourth method. Yes. Qiyas. Okay. What is qiyas? Qiyas means analogical deduction of a ruling regarding a specific issue where there is no clear reference to it in the Quran, Sunnah, or Ijma'. The deduction is based on the good resemblance of a case to another one for which there is a known evidence from the Quran, Sunnah, or Ijma'. The prohibition of marijuana. This is based upon the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, every intoxicant is khamr. Every intoxicant is khamr. Khamr meaning alcoholic beverage. And every form of khamr is haram, is unlawful. Now, since marijuana has intoxicating effect, it can be classified as khamr and thus be unlawful. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said in one of his basic rulings, he said, and such is the name menses. Allah had based upon it many rulings in the book and sunnah, and he did not give us an estimate for what constitutes its shortest or its longest period. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also did not specify the time for which the woman is considered clean between any of her two menstrual periods, although the ummah is mostly affected by this issue and need to know about it. Linguistically, the name menses does not characterize one estimate or another. So, anyone who estimates a certain time limit for menses, then he or she had taken a position that is not in accordance with the book and sunnah. Evidence number 4. Allah established that menses is painful, impure, and harmful thing, and that's why there should be no sexual intercourse during its manifestation. So, as long as there is menses, then there is harm and impurity with no difference between the second day and the first, nor between the fourth and the third, because menses remains to be menses and painful, and harm remains to be harm. The reason is equally present in any of the days. So how can it be acceptable to have separate rulings, one for each day, although the existing reason governing the ruling about menses is the same for both days? This is against good rationale, and it is not that good rationale is to consider equal application of the ruling on both days, because the reason behind the ruling equally exists on both of them. Yes, of course, this is good rationale, because the ruling equally exists on both days. Evidence number 5. The disagreements and disturbances in the sayings of those who specify a certain period of time for menses indicates the absence of evidence for such sayings. These opinions were arrived at by ijtihad. What is ijtihad? It's the process of arriving at reasoned decisions by well-learned scholars to suit new circumstances. So the Shaykh here is saying, these opinions were arrived at by ijtihad. and they are subject to being wrong or right, and none of these opinions have precedence over the other. And at times of dispute, we have to refer to Quran and Sunnah. It should be clear by now that the strongest ruling is that there is no time limitation for either the shortest or longest menses, and accordingly what the woman sees from her natural blood other than a wound or something similar is menstrual blood, without consideration for time estimates or age factors, except the case in which the flow of blood does not cease, or it ceases for 1 or 2 days in the month, and in which the woman is considered to be in a state of istihada. This is known as istihada, which we will explain later. Okay, we'll repeat. So the strongest ruling is that there is no time limitation for either the shortest or longest menses, and accordingly what the woman sees from her natural blood other than a wound or something similar is menstrual blood, without consideration for time estimates or age factors, except the case in which the flow of blood does not cease, or it ceases for 1 or 2 days per month, and in which the woman is considered to be in a state of istihada. And we will explain what is istihada later. Is this now clear? طيب. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, quote, basically everything that comes out from the womb is menses until an evidence can be established to indicate that it is istihada. He also said, any released blood is a menses blood unless it is known to be the type of wound blood or bleeding from a blood vessel. He said, any released blood is a menses blood unless it is known to be the type of wound blood or bleeding from a blood vessel. Is this clear? Not only this saying is the strongest view, but also it is the closest to understand and contemplate and easiest to practice. It deserves to be accepted above all other views because it fits the spirit and essence of Islam, which is relief and easiness. Allah the Most High says in 22:78, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, and He, Allah, has chosen for you to convey Islam to mankind, and has not laid upon you any hardship in religion. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily this deen is very easy, and whoever overburdens himself in his religion will not be able to continue in that way. So you should not be extremists, the Prophet ﷺ said. So you should not be extremists, but try to be near to perfection and receive the good tidings that you will be rewarded. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 1, hadith number 38. It is also known that part of the character of the Prophet ﷺ is that whenever he had to choose between two matters, he would choose the easier one unless it is a wrongdoing. The menses of the pregnant woman. Most often, menses stops during pregnancy. Imam Ahmad. Who is Imam Ahmad? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who lived between 164 to 241, corresponding to 778 to 855, became one of the greatest memorizers and narrators of hadith of his time. his greatest concern was the collection, narration and interpretation of hadith. He went through a series of persecutions because of his stand against the application of philosophical concepts in understanding the deen. His school of legal thought gives high emphasis to evidences from the Quran and Sunnah and the consensus opinion of the Sahaba. Rahimahullah. Imam Ahmad Rahimahullah said, quote, "Women are able to recognize being pregnant when their menses stops," end of quote. If the pregnant woman sees the blood shortly before delivery, 2 or 3 days, coupled with contractions, then it is considered nifas. Post-delivery bleeding. If the pregnant woman sees the blood shortly before delivery, 2 or 3 days, coupled with contractions, then it is considered nifas, nifas blood. If it is seen way in advance of her delivery, or shortly prior to delivery, but not accompanied by contractions, then it is menses or not? Is it to be considered menses or not? There is dispute amongst the scholars on this issue. And the correct opinion is that this kind of blood is considered menses blood. The reason behind this lies in the general ruling that, quote, "The blood encountered by a woman is a menses blood as long as there is no reason that alters its consideration as menses blood. To this effect, there is nothing in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah that indicates that a pregnant woman may not have menses." And this is the opinion of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And not nifas, meaning it is blood of menses. We said Imam Malik and we said Imam Shafi'i. Who are they? Imam Malik Ibn Anas lived between 94 and 179 after Hijrah, corresponding to 716-801. Born in Medina. His grandfather is Amr, was among the major companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught hadith in Medina over a period of 40 years. He compiled a book containing hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sayings of the companions and their successors, which he named Al-Muwatta. Can we write this down? Which he named Al-Muwatta. This book was translated into English. It's available, it's in our hands. However, this book was translated into English, yes, Muwatta Malik. However, an introduction by a mystic Sufi person in England distorted the purity of this book. Sufism is a mystic sect that has nothing to do with Islam originally. The followers of this sect claim that, quote, "they receive direct inspiration," which they call kashf, "from Allah, and that they can influence the universe, and that the unity of Allah means that He is in everything. Certainly Allah is the Most High, on His arsh, sees, knows, and encompasses everything, and He does not unite in His creation, as the Christians and other sects claim. Allah's attributes are all unique and perfect and distinct from those of His creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is all hearing, all seeing. And who is Imam al-Shafi'i? Imam al-Shafi'i lived between 150 and 204 after Hijrah, corresponding to 767. to 820. Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i was born in Gaza and traveled to Medina in his youth to study under Imam Malik. He also studied in Iraq under Imam Ahmad and under Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hassan, who was the famous student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam al-Shafi'i holds the distinction of being the first Imam to systemize the fundamental principles of Islamic fiqh jurisprudence. So, this is the opinion of Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi'i, and the choice of Shaykh al-Islam, that it is not nifas. That it is not nifas. If it is seen way in advance of her delivery or shortly prior to delivery but no contractions, then this kind of blood is menses blood according to the correct opinion. In this case, the question is raised as to whether it can be considered as menses and thus apply to it all the rulings of. Also, it is reported that Imam Ahmad re-adopted this position. It is also reported that Imam Ahmad re-adopted this position. Accordingly, all the rulings governing the normal menses are applicable to the menses of a pregnant woman, except in two cases. Case one, divorce. It is known that divorcing a non-pregnant woman must take place during her iddah. What is iddah? Iddah means prescribed period, in a cleansed state in which her husband did not have intercourse with her, or if it is known that she became pregnant. I will repeat. Iddah means prescribed period, and its definition lies in the following hadith of Al-Bukhari. Volume 7, page 129, hadith number 178. Narrated Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he had divorced his wife while she was menstruating during the lifetime of Allah's Messenger. Umar, his father, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, asked Allah's Messenger about that. And Allah's Messenger said, order him, meaning your son, to take her back and keep her till she is clean, and then to wait till she gets her next period and becomes clean again. Whereupon, if he wishes to keep her, he can do so. And if he wishes to divorce her, he can divorce her before having sexual intercourse with her. And that is the prescribed period which Allah has fixed for the woman meant to be divorced. So this is the prescribed period. Let's go now to the point where that is being made. All rulings governing the normal menses are applicable to the menses of a pregnant woman, except in two cases. Case one, divorce. It is known that divorcing a non-pregnant woman must take place during her iddah and not while she is in her menses, because Islamically this is unlawful. Allah says, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ 65:1. When you divorce women, divorce them at their prescribed periods. As far as the pregnant woman is concerned now, her iddah is her period of pregnancy, whether she was menstruating or not. Remember, the iddah, the prescribed period of the pregnant woman, is her period of pregnancy, whether she was menstruating or not. So her divorce is dependent upon the completion of her term of pregnancy and has nothing to do with her menses. Is this clear? Is this clear concerning? Okay, I'll repeat. No problem. As for the pregnant woman, the pregnant woman is considered her idda, her prescribed period. Is her period of pregnancy, whether she was menstruating or not, is this clear now? So her divorce is dependent upon the completion of her term of pregnancy and has nothing to do with her menses. Is this now clear? Her idda, is this clear now? Has nothing to do with her menses. It has to do with the completion of her pregnancy. Is this clear? Is this clear, inshallah? I need to see more answers. So far good, alhamdulillah. Okay. No, I didn't say 1 month. No, not at all. This is something I didn't say. The pregnant woman has nothing to do with that. We are talking about the pregnant woman now. That the idda for the pregnant woman is the completion of her pregnancy term and has nothing to do with her menses. I just want you to answer me. Is this clear to you? Is this now clear to you? Okay, alhamdulillah. The second exception, the idda of the pregnant woman, the idda, the prescribed period of the pregnant woman ends with her delivery, whether she is menstruating or not. Is this clear now? The idda, what is the idda of the pregnant woman? The prescribed period is for her to deliver, ends with her delivery, whether she is menstruating or not. Why? Because Allah made this clear in 65 verse 4. Read it please. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. For those who are pregnant, whether they are divorced or their husbands are dead, their period, their idda, is until they deliver their burdens, is until they deliver their burdens. Is this clear? Fayyid, I'm waiting to see before I continue. Okay. Yes, after the birth of the child, yes, they can be divorced. Yes. It has nothing to do with her menstruation. Is this clear? Fayyid. The end of chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 3. Changes in the state of menses. There are many types of changes that can affect the state of menses. First, increase or decrease. Example, a period that normally lasts for 6 days continues for one more day, or a period that normally stays for 7 days ends on the 6th day. Is this clear? Is this type of change clear? Increase or decrease? Okay. Secondly, advancement or delay. This is another change. Advancement or delay. Example, a woman having her quote-unquote normal period at the end of each month finds herself menstruating at the beginning of the month, or the opposite. Is this clear? Advancement or delay. A woman having her normal period at the end of each month finds herself menstruating at the beginning of the month, or the opposite. Scholars differed about the religious decree regarding these two situations. And the correct position is that whenever she sees the blood, I would like this to be written. The correct position is that whenever she sees the blood, then she is menstruating, and whenever she becomes clean, then she is in the state of purity, regardless of whether there was an increase, decrease, advancement, or delay in her period. Is this clear? Okay. So the correct opinion is that whenever she sees the blood, then she is menstruating, and whenever she becomes clean, then she is in the state of purity, regardless of whether she was or there was increase, decrease, advancement, or delay in her period. This is because the application of rulings about menses, as we detailed earlier, depends upon the actual existence of blood. Depends upon the actual existence of menses blood. This is really what matters. Thirdly, the third type of changes. The third type of changes is the yellowish discharge. Is the yellowish discharge, which looks like yellowish pus. Which looks like yellowish pus, P-U-S. Or it is called kudra, as it came in the hadith. Or kudra, which looking between yellowish and blackish discharge. If this occurs during the menses period, or immediately after it, and prior to the state of cleanness, then it is to be considered as menses, with all the rulings of menses being applicable. No, they are not for females only. No. You know, now imagine, this happened yesterday. A sister, she was really in trouble. She thought, that's it. She was divorced twice. And in the third case, and the third time, she was divorced when she had the yellowish discharge. So she was asking, what about the divorce? Is it applicable or not? So you see the point here, these rulings are profound. They are not only limited to the females only. You see the point? So I repeat, if this discharge of this type occurs during the time of menses, or immediately after it, and prior to the state of tahara, prior to the state of cleanliness, then it is considered menses, with all the rulings of menses being applicable. Is this understood, inshallah? Is this understood? Okay. Now, look at the other case. If these discharges occur after the state of tahara, after the state of cleanliness, then it is not menses. This is in accordance of the saying of Umm Atiyah, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, quote, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 1, page 194, number 323, we never considered yellowish discharge after cleanliness as a thing of importance, meaning as menses. And the same was reported by Bukhari without the words after cleanliness. It was reported by Abu Dawood with a good chain of narrations. The first one, we never considered yellowish discharge after cleanliness as a thing of importance, meaning as menses. And this same was reported by Al-Bukhari in the volume 1323, but without the words after cleanliness. Is this clear also? Meaning, if these discharges occur after the tahara, after the purity, then they are not considered, they are not considered as menses. Imam al-Bukhari, however, tabulated this hadith. He tabulated this hadith under the chapter title, quote, yellowish discharge during the days between the periods. He based this upon another hadith by Aisha in the same chapter entitled, quote, the beginning and end of the menstrual period, and this is the hadith. Some women used to send the pads of cotton with traces of yellowish discharge to Aisha for the verdict to know whether they had become clean from menses or not. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say, don't hurry, don't rush, till you see al-qas'atul bayda, the white discharge from the womb. The cotton pad will be white, meaning the perfect disappearance of menses. Don't hurry till you see the white discharge, indicating the perfection of, or the disappearance of menses. The fourth type of change: discontinuity in menstruation, such that blood flows on one day and it stops the next day. There are two circumstances associated with this type. The first, yes, now we're talking about discontinuity of discharges. The first case, discontinuity occurs all the time. In this case, this blood is considered as a blood of istihada, mid-cycle bleeding, and all rulings of istihada are to be applicable on it. Is this part clear? If the discontinuity occurs all the time, in this case this blood is considered a blood of istihada, a wound blood. Is this clear? Okay. Fine. Alhamdulillah. Secondly, discontinuity occurs only sometimes, and there is a period of tahara, of purity. Scholars differed regarding this period of cleanliness. Is it really a period of cleanliness whereby the laws of menses are not applicable, or is it part of menses? I will repeat. We're talking about the discontinuity which occurs only sometimes, and there is a period of cleanliness takes place. Is this considered really a period of tahara, of cleanliness, whereby the laws of menses are not applicable, or is it part of menses? According to Imam Shafi'i, Ibn Taymiyyah, and Imam Abu Hanifa's school of thought, this associated period is part of menses, because al-qas'atul bayda, the white discharge, is not seen, and if it were to be considered as purity, then there will be difficulty and hardship upon women. Certainly, this is against the essence of Islamic principles. So this is the first opinion, that it is, since the al-qas'atul bayda, the white discharge, is not seen, then this is associated, this period is part of menses. Okay, I will repeat. According to Imam Shafi'i, Ibn Taymiyyah, and Imam Abu Hanifa's school of thought, this associated period, we are talking about the discontinuity occurring only sometimes and then period of cleanliness in between. This associated period of cleanliness, to them it's part of menses, because al-qas'atul bayda, because the white discharge is not seen, and if it were to be considered as a pure, then there will be difficulty and hardship upon women, and certainly this would be against the essence of the Islamic principles. Is this clear? Is this view clear? Is this view clear? Okay, to them this is considered. On the other hand, the well-known opinion of the Hanbali school of thought is that blood flow is menses and cleanliness is purity, except when the combined times of menses and purity exceeds, quote, the longest period of menses, which according to this school is 15 days, they defined it. Blood flow beyond this upper limit is considered istihada. And the author of Al-Mughni, which is a great reference book compiling the Hanbali school of thought, said, quote, listen to his saying because it is a medium quote. He said, if the blood stops for less than one day, the state cannot be considered as purity unless she sees a clear evidence. For example, the flow stops at the end of her period, or she sees the white discharge, end of quote. And the Sheikh, our Sheikh, said, this saying of Al-Mughni is an intermediate position between these two above opinions, and Allah knows best. So what is the intermediate position according to our Sheikh? If the blood stops for less than one day, the state cannot be considered a clean state unless she sees a clear evidence. For example, the flow stops at the end of her period, or she sees the white discharge. The fifth change, dryness in the blood. A woman sees some wet discharge. If this occurs during menses or linked to menses before purity, then it is menses. If it occurs after purity, then it is hayd, then it is menses. I will repeat. Dryness in the blood. A woman sees somewhat discharge. If this occurs during menses or linked to it, prior to tahara, prior to cleanliness, then it is menses. If it occurs, however, after the cleanliness, then it is not menses. We're going to stop here, inshallah, tomorrow. We continue chapter 4, where we begin the laws about menses. The laws about menses. And these will cover the following topics. Menses and prayers, menses and fasting, menses and tawaf around the Kaaba, exemption from the farewell tawaf, menses and legal sexual intercourse, menses and divorce, menses and the idda of divorce, and the free uterus, and more. But inshallah we'll cover some of these, but this is just to tell you what is in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, inshallah, that will be totally devoted to istihada, several states of istihada, the one who resembles the woman in istihada, rulings about istihada. And chapter 6 will cover nifas, post-delivery and its rulings, and the laws of nifas. And then there will be a chapter 7 on the use of menses inhibitors and or stimulants. And in chapter 8, the use of contraceptives. And chapter 9, the use of abortive means. Inshallah ta'ala, this will cover the entire book, inshallah ta'ala.